Our second feature this week was written by Tom Edwards, a Norfolk man who started his career in pirate radio and joined BBC Look East when he was 22. He looks back over a long career with a variety of broadcasters, but he clearly has a special affection for Look East. Julie Benfield will read his memories.
I hit 79 years in March of this year. I'm amazed I'm still here, and my DJ pal of all this time, Johnny Walker, reached the same age in the same month. We sometimes compare notes. We used to play old DJ golden oldies hits, but now, with time, we are now ourselves golden oldies, hopefully. The same month of our birthdays saw 60 years of Radio Caroline first being heard. I went on board the very intimidating Shivering Sands Towers, which still stand. I finished my 3 years at sea on board the Mi Amigo ship, which was home to Radio Caroline. The station faced closing down due to a court case and the impending doom of the government's Marine Offences Broadcasting Act, which came into force on August the 14th, 1967. I joined the crew in February of that year, determined to enjoy my 7 months on board the Mi Amigo, who Johnny always called the Lady. I left just a few hours before the act became active. Had I stayed beyond midnight and then tried to re-enter the UK, I could have faced prison for 2 years and or a heavy duty fine, which today, of course, seems just crazy. The pirate stations had attracted a huge audience which rattled the BBC, and thus was formed Radios 1, 2, 3 and 4 in September 1968. It signalled a massive change round for radio fans in the UK. Somewhat down with my lot, I decided home is where the heart is, and I came back to Mum in Norwich. She was worried about my future, as indeed I was. I did something which, looking back today, seems cheeky, but I was then a young man of 22, so it came to my tapping on the door of BBC East. I had an appointment with the boss man, Johnny Johnston, and we got on at once. He was a genuine fellow. He agreed that my being a Norfolk man might help the output from the studios, which were then coming from a wonderful Georgian-style building at All Saints Green. The local news headlines only lasted about 3 to 4 minutes. Later, Look East came on the screens and arrangements were made for me and a sort of audition. Eventually, I was given a role, fronting Look East one evening or two a week and sometimes reading their top news summary. I was told I still had the slight Norfolk accent, but years later it was knocked sideways when I moved for years to London. I did my first show ever on Radio 1. It was January the 1st, 1968, that I took over from Simon D on Monday's Midday Spin. For the next few years, I commuted maybe 3 times a week between Norwich and London, and then, with a more steady income, was offered a staff job at Radio 1 and 2. I was so grateful for those early editions of Look East. I learned the craft of being on live television, and it served well when I left the stable at Radios 1 and 2 and joined Thames Television as one of their regular InVision announcers. They were one of the very best of the television companies I have ever worked for. It was 1979. At the weekends, I went to Harlech TV in Cardiff, announcing and reading their local bulletins. Also, ATV in Birmingham, and the bonus was going on Anglia TV when they were short of an announcer, and I was happy to help out and obviously see Mum in Christchurch Road, in the house my father had built when I was born in 1945. A decade later, I went to the USA and Los Angeles to get work there. It is one of the most difficult places to get a foot in the door. 2 years later, I came home to Norwich feeling quite dejected. I decided to say hello to the BBC, still at All Saints Green. It had been 25 years. I had, in a way, come full circle. Ted Gorton met me in the familiar newsroom. He was so pleased to see me. He threw his arms around and simply said, "Welcome home, Tom." There was a stranger in that newsroom, something called Computers and the Internet. I saw a familiar face, that of Stuart White. I had sometimes hot-seated him in the studio as one of the InVision announcers at ATV in Birmingham. He smiled back across the room, saying, "I heard you're back. What are you doing here?" Ted Gorton shouted out for everyone to hear, "He's after your bloody job, Stuart." I froze. I wasn't, of course. I was just pleased to be in such a familiar place. I ended up doing Look East at the weekends and the early breakfast news on BBC One as the opt-out for East Anglia. Radio Norfolk called, and there I met a man who was my boss and these days a fine friend. His name, of course, is David Clayton, and we had a fine working relationship, and it was he who invited me to the 60th anniversary reunion. I was asked if I would attend the reunion. Is the Pope Catholic? I cannot believe I am still remembered. I'm flattered to be asked. Life is all one big adventure, but it's a good feeling to catch up with old friends and with the many folk I have worked for. Moving to the present, and I now live in a lovely Lincolnshire village called Heckington, just off the A17. I'm told that I am almost a local, but deep down, having been born and raised and educated in Norwich, I will always, yes, always, be a Norfolk man. And now on to my health journey over the past year. Last summer, I noticed a lump in my groin, which I thought was a hernia. After a lot of nagging from a lady friend, I went to my excellent GP, who simply said, "It's not a hernia, Tom." I saw a top consultant and then had CT and PET MRI scans, blood tests, needles in the neck, and a rather brutal, painful one, the bone marrow procedure. I saw the consultant again after all this, and I eyeballed him and said, "Are we talking cancer here?" "Yes, we are, Tom," was his swift reply. So I went to Lincoln Hospital for radiation therapy day after day. Now, the radiation therapy treatment has been finished by the consultant, Dr. P. Sanganalmath. He has handed me back to Professor Ciro C. Rinaldi. I can speak fluent Italian, which means we chat on a first-name basis, which is more relaxed. I have yet another PET scan looming. It is a long session, as I am tightly packed into the tube of this amazing piece of medical equipment. Thanks to all the many NHS medics who guided me through so many tests, I truly believe all of those I've met over the past few months are so dedicated in the work they do. I have so many people to be thankful to in my life. Helen McDermott has been such a great friend. When my mother died, Helen came to my aid, as did some others. She stayed with me at my home, the home that my mother and I had and for the funeral she organised, the food, etc., after Mum's cremation at St Faith's. I must also mention that when I started writing for the Evening News decades ago with a page devoted to teenagers in what was then the swinging 60s. Finally, one of my favourite lines is from the Groucho Marx, who once said, "I'm not afraid of dying, I just don't want to be around when it happens." It still makes me laugh, which is the best medication in the world.
Thank you, Julie.